Blog Talk Radio.
Blessed souls, we're on a journey towards eternity. Right now, you're tuned into blogtalkradio.com, and we humbly suggest we are the higher in the frequency. We call ourselves Soul Class. This is Soul Class 595, Meditation Equals Wellsprings for the Human Soul. Program presentation number 34, Baruch Hashem. Blessed is our Creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha. Blessing upon the human family experience with Creator's help. We're now broadcasting live on April 12, 2016, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Unified Soul Actualization. The call-in number is 347-838-8669. If you'll be hearing me on the archive version, I guess that's irrelevant. But in the meanwhile, you can call in. Our focus will be extracting inspirations from Rav Hillel of Parch's elucidations upon the Mittler Rebbe's Shari Yuchud, the Gate of Unification. Unification of all gates of understanding. Meanwhile, may the eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. The tags for today's humble presentation are eternal creation, eternal creator, divine image, oscillating right, left, back, brain consciousness, universal redemption, Chabad Chassidus, traditions from the house of Kings David and Solomon, and last but not least, children of Israel collaborating with the children of Noah to meditate to erase the hate and jealousy and unnecessary competition which plague this earth. And included upon what's being plagued upon this earth is the human family experience. So when you wake up right now, or tomorrow, or in 2 weeks, and see there's no more hatred, jealousy, and unnecessary competition, you know we are all living in the days of the Mashiach, the days of the Messiah, the universal redemption. We're now listening to Journey by Mark Eliyahu, a nice young man from Israel. And I love his last name. I love his first name. But just remember that name, Mark Eliyahu, blessed souls. He plays a very unique instrument, which is of ancient accord. And with that being said, well, let me just mention that he plays what is known as the Kamanche. K-A-M-A-N-C-H-E. And the last name, Eliyahu, Elijah. Mark my word, bless us, very soon we shouldn't be surprised when we hear the heralded call of the prophet Eliyahu, Navi Elijah, telling us the time of our redemption has come. But Tekel Shofar Hagadol, in the blowing of the great shofar from the epicenter of creation. Okay, blessed souls, now let's go into today's program. But before we do, I'd like to mention that I know a lot of you have sent me well wishes. I've spoken to me personally about the continuing need for the prayers and well, positively projected thoughts to my father, Reb Shlomo Yaakov Ben Esther, who is in great pain right now because of a cracked vertebrae in the thoracic section of his back, upper region of his back. And he told his brother, my uncle, 2 days ago that he is, quote unquote, I am in a valley of pain. So for those of you who can feel that, cry of one soul Yehudi, elderly Jew, who according to his solar calendar birthday turned 85 this past Sunday and will turn 85 according to the Hebrew lunar calendar the day after the Pesach holiday, Passover. May he have the ability and the blessings to once again ambulate and to get out of his wheelchair and even not even have the restriction of the walker. Yes, we can pray for such things, bless ourselves with our 2 feet planted on the ground solely, with the understanding that this is a natural path that he has to go through, but we can also pray for the supernatural path to intervene via the empowerment of the Almighty Creator. Also for the well wishes and blessings for the strengthening of spirit and soul and body for my mother, Maras Yiska Techiabas Chayasara. Chayasara was my grandmother. May she rest in peace, the mother of my mother. And again, for Shlema, complete healing for Shlomo Yaakov and Esther. Blessed souls, I also felt that at this point in time, because we're getting ready for Pesach, and we're about 11 days away before the celebration of the birth of our nation of Israel, but this is a birthing process of consciousness for all nations. I thought I would extract out a tidbit of a Hasidic discourse from the Babacher Rebbe before we get into the meat of today's program, although this certainly has its own meaty density spiritually. There are four expressions of redemption which are brought out in the book Shmos, which is the book of Exodus. And the four expressions of redemption are, the Creator said, telling Moshe to proclaim to the Israelites, to the Egyptians, and to the world for that matter, to this very generation, Hotzesi, I took you out. Hetzalti, and I saved you. Uga'alti, and I redeemed you. Lekachti, and I took you to me. The idea of being taken out is that we should be taken out of the constrictions of our misdoings. Our misdoings create a constricted consciousness upon ourselves, blessed souls, and we're asking God to take us out of that mindset that we can move forward. We're not the type of people. Our nation is not predicated on the fact that we did something wrong and therefore we're forever damned, as some other faiths would project upon us, and those who just simply hate us as a nation and hate the B'nai Noach. No, we ask the Creator to take out of our mind this idea that if we've done wrong, we cannot correct it. The idea of Hatzalti, I saved you, this is referring to we've been blessed to the divine service of doing what is good. Hatzalti, that we are protected by the fact that we are engaging in acts of kindness, learning Torah and praying. Ga'alti, we've been redeemed you, Creator, but this is referring to that part of our redemption is connected to the idea of returning to the Creator, teshuva, repentance, but the better, deeper, terser definition of teshuva is not repentance, but rather returning to Creator, manifesting within our human living experience the understanding that we can return to the Creator, and lekachti, and I took you, referring to, I took to you, to me as a people, who will be among Hashem's people. This idea of tshuva, which is a higher level of the tshuva we mentioned before, of returning, of the bechin of atik, meaning we will sense the pleasure of returning to Creator. Although it might seem like an ethereal concept, I just leave it to you, blessed souls, to learn a little bit more about that. Those are just four expressions from the Torah, which talk about the redemption of the nation of Israel. But I've already seen in one video yesterday from Rabbi David Idenson from Muncie, New York, that the nations of Israel know that there's a universal message in the redemption of Israel, meaning there will be not just the redemption of Israel in the times of the Yemos Mashiach, the days of Mashiach, there will also be redemption for all peoples. But you will be empowered more, I humbly suggest to you, and I humbly advise you, blessed souls, that, in fact, that you learn more about this from the Torah. Now, I feel also as well, because these are tough economic times, and again, this is the merit of my father, Shlomo Yaakov ben Esther, the idea of understanding that reading certain parts of the Torah have certain blessings in it that encompass the entire Torah, and one section of the Torah, as identified by the Malar of Prague, who lived up until the year of 1612, until he went to the next level of life, a great tzaddik and an ancestor of the seven Lubavitcher Chabad Rebbes, the Maggid of Mezrich, who who ascended to the seat of the leadership of the Hasidic movement in the 18th century after the ascension to the next level of life of the Baal Shem Tov, the Maharal of Prague and the Mezritch Maggid stressed the importance of reciting the song Havazinu, and that you can find in chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy. It basically is about 43 verses. And at which point we want to elaborate that the Maharal of Prague and the Maggid of Mezritch mentioned that the recital, and especially of those who can learn it by heart with the cantillation notes, otherwise known in the Hebrew as the trop, reading of this song from chapter 32, verse 1 until chapter 32, verse 44, I personally read to verse 47, and learning it by heart, which I haven't done yet, and I don't even know the trop yet, but reading it purifies the mind and heart and leads to longevity and success in business affairs. Embellishing the points made by the Maharal of Prague and the Maggid of Mezritch Maggid, the 6th Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson of Lubavitch, added, if businessmen realized what benefit this would actually bring, they would be more careful about doing it. So since all of us blessed souls are basically in the business of living our lives, I humbly suggest and urge all of you to try and see, use as a laboratorial experience within your own blessed life experience to see the blessings. And I won't be surprised if some of you come eventually to share with me or write on your own and share it with others that you heard on Soul Class 595, Meditation Equals Wellsprings for the Human Soul, program presentation 34, that the reading from chapter 32, verse 1 until chapter 44, and again I suggest chapter 32, verse 47, that it will lead to longevity, which means hopefully you'll be living healthier lives, and success in your endeavors, your business endeavors, the endeavors of being humans, beings human. Now, we're going now to the Shar Yuchud, the Likuti Biurim, the gathering of elucidations where Hillel Parich, who was a noted tzaddik, mekubal, and faithful chassid, he was a very righteous man, a very pious man, and devoted student to three Lubavitcher Rebbes, the first three, the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, and the Tzemach Tzedek. This is a very, very long, actually, we have basically a short footnote, a mentioning of a teaching from the Mittler Rebbe and a very long elucidation of Rav Hillel. We only have about 17 minutes left, so we'll see if we can compress it all into this presentation. If not, we'll extract it out. We'll stretch it out to the next presentation with, of course, the blessings of the Most High. Blessed souls, Rav Hillel wants us to know that there is this realm called Koach HaMaskil, which in the world of psychology we call some consciousness, and we, from the world of psychology or perhaps other disciplines in faith and science and metaphysics, even physics, this subconscious is basically existing in a realm where we can only have a reactive type of experience with it. The Torah's Chassidus Chabad and the Kabbalah wants us to know that we can have a proactive experience with this level of consciousness, but we call it superconsciousness. It's subconscious in the way that it's submerged below our normative, mundane, human, secularized, even scientific, even religious thinking. But on the human family experience, if we take away those labels of scientific, metaphysic, physics, religious thinking, we there see there's a whole world called Koach HaMaskil, superconsciousness, which serves as cognitive soil, which serves as the root of human wisdom, the perception of profundity. There exists in this cognitive soil called Koach HaMaskil a root for one's understanding. The truth of the matter is, blessed souls, emanating out of the Koach HaMaskil, our superconsciousness, is Abba and Ima, alluding to wisdom, and Ima referring to or alluding to understanding. As one entity, they emanate out from our superconsciousness. but in terms of how we can perceive it as a revelatory human experience, and to be able to have it experienced on a tangible, elucidated manner by ourselves, the revelation has to flow through the experience of comprehension, which has been empowered by our wisdom. And therefore, in the hierarchy of bringing down intellect, which is super intellect, super consciousness, the hierarchy is, in a very generalized fashion, as Rav Hillel wants us to know, is that wisdom is the giver and understanding is the receiver. Chachma mashpia v'bina machinas makabel. And this was something that was talked about in previous lessons, previous program presentations, and of course in the Sefer itself, the book which I'm extracting these wisdoms from. Now we're going to a brief statement by the Mittler Rebbe, who was the Rebbe, the Rav, the mentor of Rav Hillel, in terms of these teachings, and then blessed him and empowered him to bring about his elucidations, so our generation, the human soul community, can access such teachings. The Mittler Rebbe wrote from the realm of knowledge, not speculation. Because Chassidus is not speculation, it's knowledge of godliness. As it appears in actuality that anyone who engages in the human experience of being a mimic, which we'll be reviewing that concept very soon, according to the terse elucidation of Rav Hillel, anyone who's going to go deep into the concept is going to only go into the depth of the comprehension, the Omak HaMusag. But by doing that, they're reaching into something way beyond their experience of having a perception and experience of the depth of the concept, which is also described in last week's presentation as the Shar Nun Debina, the 50th gate of understanding, which at some level is not accessible to a human being while they're clothed in a human body. Real human being is the soul of human, and the body is the Lavusha Adam, it's the garment of man or the garment of woman. Lavusha, Shal Isha. That when a person commits himself or herself, himself or herself, to go deep into the concept, they are now going to extract out, so to speak, excavate, hew out from the source and the root of the concept itself. Meaning, so to speak, if you were to look at it, consider a Torah concept, allegorically speaking, as a mine, let's say a gold mine. Finding the gold within the first several hours of excavating from this gold mine, a cave where gold is found, one might be satiated by just, you know, extracting out the first few gold nuggets that one haphazardly or by Shkocha Protis, divine providence, happened to discover. However, the true devotee to the extraction of that precious material will not stop digging, even though after finding those first few nuggets of gold, they might have to drill another 10, 15, 20, 50, 150 feet in order to find the next nugget of gold, only to see that next nugget of gold, say 150 feet below surface level, is actually the beginning of the opening of the doorway, extracting an entire mine of gold. So too, when we go deep into the concept, yes, we might get an initial hearty cognitive experience, but then might have to go into a long period of concealment of the profundity of the concept. Even though we seem to have grasped onto something very deep, we've only touched the iceberg of the concept. And that's a humbling matter. And some people at that point give up, and others make the bold and courageous endeavor and spend the rest of their lives to see that whatever they learn in Torah is just the tip of the iceberg, and then they see how much they can excavate until they have to move on to the next Torah subject or want to, or circumstances dictate that they have to stop learning and do other things during that particular day that he or she discovered the profundity of that concept. Now, when a person is tapping into the Omaka Musag, as Rav Hillel wants us to know, that they are tapping into not just to the root of the Bina, as it is rooted in the Koach HaMashkil, superconsciousness, they are tapping into the root of the wisdom, the Chochmah, that is, as it exists in the Koach HaMashkil. So comprehend, the depth of comprehension is ultimately aimed at not just getting to the depth of comprehension, the Omak HaMusak itself, but to the Omak of the Chochmah, the depth of the wisdom, which is basically the driving force to wanting to learn more and to do more analytical learning, which is known as Iyun, is Bonenus, meditation, inner understanding. And that's something Rav Hillel just doing parenthetically, and going back to something that the Mittler Rebbe wrote in his first chapter of this wondrous sefer known as the HaMafteich Shel Toras Chasidus, the key to all of the instructions of Toras Chasidus, to bring out this aspect of going into the only the Omek HaMusag will allow a person to have the experience to bring out Chadashos to Orde Chachma Babina, to bring out qualities of new light, new awareness of wisdom as they exist within understanding. And that person is called, he's at that particular point in time, he or she would be called a mimic, because they are making an effect. They're not being reactive to reception, receival of profundity. They're not being reactive to the receival or the gaining of understanding. They're actually affecting the depths of that wisdom and understanding, meaning they're affecting by the fact that they're getting out, they're extracting out something way beyond what they originally perceived of the wisdom and understanding of that subject matter. Now, it doesn't change the subject matter, you know, to come out with a different outcome other than the outcome the Torah wants us to have us according to the will and wisdom of the Creator. But so to speak, we bring an elevation to the revelation of Torah, just like the gold that is 150 feet underneath the earth has a certain elevation because it has been deemed to be worthy of being that precious metal called gold. But when it's extracted out, and then it can be downsized to be used, say, for like the vessels of the temple, the third temple, built speedily on a day, or as some people will use it as a gold filling in order to protect the mouth of the person who is wearing that gold filling, as opposed to other fillings which have, you know, through the course of time been shown to be not as long lasting, they're not as durable as a gold filling, and not as healthy as a gold filling. Things to consider, blessed souls. Going back into the longer elucidation of Hillel, which I see we only have about 6 minutes to go, we're not going to rush through it. We're going to take it slowly, methodically, as best as we can with Hashem's blessings. Behold, everything that's mentioned above is a quality known as a makas adas, balashna olam, in the language of the world. Now, I just want to remind everyone that we, I think, have discussed this idea that a makas adas can be explained from the Torah perspective, and it can be explained from the perspective of the worldly perception of a makas adas, meaning the depth of one's focus, and other belief systems, you want to call it faiths, I guess so, spiritual instructions, would promote the idea that the focus is the knowledge. Meaning, once a human being gets into a certain sense of, so to speak, being in the zone, as one of the most knowledgeable students and teachers of the Shaar Yichud, Rav Yossi Markello, lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, once told me, for some other spiritual guidance systems, their perception of a makas adas, or the depth of focus as a wisdom, would be tantamount, allegorically speaking, to a person sitting in a cave alone, sitting in swaddling cloth, lighting a candle, placing upon a rock, focusing on the light of the candle, which is dispersing much darkness because of the fact that he or she is in the cave, focusing how the light of that candle can have an interaction with our navel, our belly button, and then whatever pops up into his head or her head is considered to be a profundity. The truth of the matter is, blessed souls, a person engaged in that type of exercise, spiritual exercise, could conjure up the greatest stupidity and call it a profundity. I would suggest, to be Malamed Schus, to look on the good side of such an exercise, I would say that could be a means of calming down one's sense of nervousness or just developing a cognitive awareness of recollecting that experience. So when one is, say, like walking the streets of Manhattan or Yehupitzville, Kentucky, or wherever he or she may be, they can recall upon that experience to as a tranquilizing spiritual recollection. But here in the Torah, we have a totally different viewpoint of the idea of a Mokas Hadas. It is something which the Mittler Rebbe presented as part of the three-tiered human experience of meditation. First, we have the process of gaining inner understanding via the cognitive vehicle of Iyun, of analytical Torah study, awakens within the human being engaging in Iyun or inner understanding or analytical Torah study to can finally focus on the data that he or she are learning. And once he or she is engaged sufficiently in that human experience of Amakas Hadas, they then develop a sense of becoming a Maimik, which we just tersely touched upon. Now, Rav Hillel wants us to know that in this general category of the three-tiered system of the human experience of meditation, Amakas Hadas contains within it two qualities. The quality of Amkus, the quality of Amaka or Amka and Maimik. Maimik we've touched upon, Amka we've touched on sort of in a convoluted fashion. But at this point, blessed souls, we're going to end. I'm kind of leave you hanging. That's okay. We've actually covered only about 12, only about 14 lines. But that's okay, because that is the process of his bonus, blessed souls, to take our time, not to tarry with the concept, as hopefully we'll be talking about this next week. But in the meantime, we're going to be segueing out of today's program with the beautiful music, as usual, and a new song, which I believe is a collaboration between Blessed Brother from England, David Dome, and Siv Ari. The name of the song is Life is Like a Rose, Bright. And may we come to recognize that our life can be very bright and become brightened by the human experience of meditation, his bononos, Iyun, in analytical Torah study, to bring us to the qualities of Amakas Hadas. 60 seconds. Find focus on the data we have been blessed to learn, and of course, to have an effect on our Omek HaChokhma, Omek HaBina, the depth of our understanding and depth of our wisdom. And may this all manifest and be revealed to us in a way of Ahavachad, one love, Gorlachad, one destiny, Kulana for all of us, Bedark and Amdark Yishalom, in a pleasant and peaceful way, Lahamshik Bez Hashem Yisprek, to be continued with the blessings of the Most High. And of course, I've got to remind you, blessed souls, you've got to be good, because Ateva Tov Lehetiv, it's nature of the good to do good. Forget about the ambivalency and the agita, whatever it may be, the anxiety. You're part of the creation, because the Creator it's the nature of the Creator to do good. Therefore, you have it within you to do good. Not as a reactive experience, but I humbly suggest you be proactive in being good and see more goodness coming into the world. And I won't be surprised when you come to say to me one day, now, Lucia, there's more good in my life because I've been doing good. Life is Like a Rose, Bright, by David Dome. Take care, everyone.
life would be easy, and who said you wouldn't get burned? Take the elevator up, then the elevator down, you got to learn. Everything is balanced, just open your eyes to see. Life is like a rose, and the rose has many thorns. And it's beautiful. You don't understand your pain, you're wondering what's in life to gain. You tried to run away, but your life was still the same. There's good in the bad, and that you gotta know. You'll find thorny roses wherever you go. And if you thank you. Cause it's beautiful.